Welcome. Today I would like to invite you all to meditate on the gospel passage of today. The beautiful story of Jesus walking on water. Now, before you all get into, did this really happen? I think it's a waste of time to be pondering whether this was real or not real, this happened, how can someone walk on water, etc., etc. I think we lose the meaning of the story, which is a deeper meaning, a deeper understanding of this beautiful story. And by delving into the metaphor, the symbolism, I'm not discarding that as something that could have happened. What I wanted to invite you all is to walk with Jesus in this passage. First of all, to understand this story, we need to understand what the sea meant for the people of the Middle East and the ancient Middle East. Water was a symbol of chaos. Water was that which was turbulent, unknown, mysterious, frightening. Remember the people from Israel, they lived up in the mountains. The Philistines were the ones who lived near the coast, so they were not too keen on water stuff. So water was a little bit, especially the big water, ocean, was some very frightening element. And in the Middle Eastern religions, not only the Jewish religion, but religions around it, it was a very common feature. The Babylonians, for example, they had two big gods, the god of the storm, the wind, and the goddess of the waters, the ocean. And those two were fighting against each other. So for the people of Israel, who were imbued in that culture, water, the sea, was a symbol of all of that which was frightening, unknown, mysterious, the evil of this storm and water. With that background, you can understand a little bit what this story of the gospel means. The disciples are alone in this boat. They're in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and then they are battered by wind and by the waves, the two components of these forces, primal forces of chaos. The Bible itself begins the story of creation when God is over the earth, a formless void, in darkness covered the face of the deep, while the wind from God swept over the face of the waters. That's the beginning the story of creation in Genesis chapter 1. So there also the sea, the wind is present as God is creating the world out of that chaotic first primordial soup. And then the end of the Bible, the book of Revelation, at the end, what we have is, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, where the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. So at the end, there's no sea, strangely enough. And what it means precisely is that at the end, God, all of that which is chaos and uncertainty and fear will be removed from our lives. A theologian and psychologist wrote about the symbolism of water. He said, of everything in life that in any way can be an experience of insecurity, of unfathomable, of the abyss, the fear of death, the fear of failure, the fear of meaninglessness, the fear of one's own subconscious drives, the fear of anything that is unfinished, unshaped. That is what he believes all this symbolism of water meant. So with this background of the culture of the time, our story of Jesus walking in the water can be more than just, wow, how cool that Jesus could walk in water. I wish I could do the same thing. To a more deeper meaning, to wonder what are the waters that batter us in our own lives today? What are the waves that threaten to capsize our boat? I think we can all relate to this experience, and especially in these most difficult times we are living. We're in the midst of a pandemic. We are experiencing the racial violence the political turmoil, climate change, etc., etc. So many things in our life, in our society, in our world, the terrible bombing that happened, the explosion that happened in Beirut. 150 people killed, 5,000 injured, 300,000 without a home. In our world, we are in the midst of a very tumultuous. I think we can all identify that we feel sometimes like those disciples on that boat, tossed and battered by the wind, and by the waves. And not to mention our own personal lives. Many times we feel in our own personal journeys, in our own personal experiences, these waves and storms that batter us. At this moment, I would like to invite you all to think, the brief moment of silence, a pause, to wonder, what are those waves, what are those winds that toss and turn? Will you feel battered down? Will you feel frightened? You are. I am like those disciples on the boat. It's interesting, Matthew chose a word, battered, which really means torture. And it's a word that's usually not related to things, but to people. People who have been physically tortured, or more symbolically, people who are in distress, afflicted, people who suffer for some human sickness. So Matthew chooses that word, battered by these waves, and by the storm, to symbolize, to invite us all to identify in this journey. And I feel our lives are being tossed around when we feel uncertain, when we feel unrooted from our reality. And in the midst of it all, Jesus appears. And strangely enough, he doesn't appear immediately. Jesus appears at the fourth hour, which is around 3-4 in the morning, like really in the middle of the night. And Jesus chooses precisely the middle of the night, the symbolic moment where not only are they battered by the storm, tossed around by the waves, they're in the deep dark in the middle of the night. And it's interesting, in Scripture, precisely in night is when God's presence is usually revealed. We've been reading the story of Jacob in the first readings throughout these last couple of weeks. And it's interesting, God appears to Jacob in the night. Remember Jacob's dream? Or the wrestling last week, the wrestling with the angel? All of that happened at night. Abraham was promised to be the father of multitudes, counting stars at night. The people of Israel left the slavery of Egypt precisely at night, the night of Passover. At night, the young Samuel heard the voice of God in the temple. At night was the birth of Jesus. At night happened the resurrection. And some people say that the second coming of Christ will be at night. Of course, I don't think it's night precisely, but the symbol is precisely when we feel that we are most abandoned by God, when darkness envelops us, when the winds and the storms of life shatter our lives, precisely there, Scripture tells us, in that moment is when God becomes present. The night can be scary. And even the presence of Jesus when he approaches his disciples in the water, it didn't bring comfort. The first thing the disciples felt when they saw Jesus walking, approaching the boat, is they felt a deep fear. "It is a ghost," cried out in fear. For Matthew, the saving presence of God does not mean that the storms or night are gone, but precisely in the midst of the night, in the midst of waves and storms, the presence of God becomes real. To the fearful disciples, Jesus tells them, Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. And the response of the disciples, on the spokesperson of Peter, of course, he is the first one who always speaks and the first one who many times makes mistakes. But he's always in the front. And he says, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus says, come. Notice that the winds, nor the waves, nor the night have gone away. It is still in the middle of the storm. The waves are running around. The wind is battering them. Nonetheless, Jesus asks Peter, come. And Peter steps out and walks in the waters. A literal understanding of this story would focus on how can Peter have walked. And again, I don't think that is the most productive line of inquiry. But rather, what does this story mean for us? Peter, who in the midst of his fear, in the midst of his uncertainty, of his doubt, he is willing to step out of the boat. He dares to leave the boat and trust in the voice of Jesus. However, as soon as Peter steps out of the boat, Matthew tells us he loses contact from seeing Jesus. And he starts noticing the strong wind and starts to sink. As soon as his heart and his mind veers away from the voice of Jesus who was calling him, and he starts paying attention to the wind and the waves that are surrounding him, when he loses his focus, he begins to sink. He focuses more on that which brought him fear and doubt and uncertainty, and he starts to lose his footing on water. But nevertheless, Peter focuses again on Jesus and cries out, Lord, save me. And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? You get in the boat, and the wind ceased. We'd like to invite you all this week to do a meditation. Read this story. Examine in your life. What are the waves, the wind, the night that is in your life at this time? How are you feeling like Peter, willing to step out of the boat, to trust the voice of Jesus inviting you to trust? In that meditation, imagine yourself crying out to Jesus, save me. And imagine Jesus' hand reaching out, holding you. Hugh had a parishioner of his, right?
Yes.
His name is John Dugdale. He's a photographer. He's a parishioner of the church in St. Luke in the Fields in New York City. He's a friend of ours, and he gave us this book. One of his most beautiful photographs is this photograph that he titles Christ Our Liberator. I'm going to put this later on. And it's a beautiful image, a photograph with just two hands. For him, that is the hand of Jesus holding your hand, the hand of Peter. When you feel most abandoned, alone, sinking in the midst of this storm, this hand that reaches out to hold you. Would like to invite you, I'll put this in the email and Bill will put it somewhere in the service today, and to meditate on this image, to feel the strong hand of God reaching out to you right where you are, blessing you, giving you the courage, the strength, the trust to be able to walk on water, the waters of chaos, of uncertainty, of turbulence, mystery, of death. God of all, from whom we flee in holy terror, your silence burns like ice. Your whisper cuts through fear. We long to hear your faithful word of righteousness and peace. Bless us with bold belief, even in the darkness of the night and the assault of life's storms. We may be messengers of your justice. In the name of the one whom wind and wave obey.
Amen. Amen.